B'nai Levi and Perek Vav in Divrei Hayom Aleph, B'nai Levi, Gershom Kasam Merari. We all know Gershom Kasam Merari. So up until now, again, what we've been doing up until now, if you grab a Navi from right there, right? What we've been doing up until now is went through Kohanim, we went through Chatzi, Sheva, Menashe, went through Reuven and Gad, as well as Yehuda, obviously went through Yehuda and Shimon. So we've been through Yehuda, Shimon, Reuven, Gad. Then we went through Chatzi, Sheva, Menashe, went through the Kohanim, and now the Levium themselves. Now, some of these names you're going to recognize, some of them not as much. Gershom, Kos, and Merari. Elish, Mos, and Gershom, Livni, and Shimi. B'nai Kos, Amr, Mi, Yitzhar, Rechav, and Uziel. B'nai Merari, Machlu, Mushi, Ve'elim, Shvals, Levi, Lavo, Sehem. Those are the main families of Levi, according to their father's house. The Gershom, B'nai, B'no. Right, Livni Beno, say Livni was the son. Yachas Beno, Zima Beno. The son of Livni was Yachas. Son of Yachas is Zima. Now, these names don't appear in the Torah itself. We don't see these names at all. Yoach Beno, Ido Beno, Zerach Beno, Yosrai Beno. Again, we don't know any of these people over here of who these guys are or where they came from over here. Unfortunately, these are names that were lost to us throughout the annals of time. B'nai Kos, Aminadov Beno. Korach b'no, Asir b'no, Elkanah b'no, Evyosaf b'no, Asir b'no, right? So some of these may have been all the children of Korach. It's possible. Tachas b'no, Uriel b'no, Uziah b'no, Vishaul b'no. This is not the Shaul that we know and love. Uvnei Elkanah, Amasei v'Achimos. Elkanah b'nei Elkanah, Tzolfai b'no, V'Nachas b'no. Eliav b'no, Yerocham b'no, Elkanah b'no. That is obviously not the same Elkanah. Ubnei Shmuel HaBechor Vashni Vaviyah. Now Shmuel's sons, the oldest one was named Vashni, and then there was Aviyah as well. Now that's interesting over here, because really, the first one was supposed to be Yoel. Yoel was the name that's mentioned in Shmuel, right, in Shmuel Aleph, instead of Vashni. Now, what is Vashni? So one can read it as like this. If you read it through, you could say HaBechor, which was Yoel, Vashni, and the second one was Va'aviyah.
Right,
but that's weird because number one, it doesn't say Vehasheni, and also it says Va'aviyah instead of Aviyah itself. But the Mefarish, which is the typical parish that they use over here, seems to say that it's referring to Vehasheni. That's what, you know, the quote unquote Rashi that says over here. So it's possible that that is what it refers to.
Doesn't read it like that, right?
Vashni b'no, how does it go? Vashni Va'aviyah. No, that's okay. Oh, because there's a HaBechor Vashni Vaviyah. Yeah, it is weird. Plus, why wouldn't you say over here? So some say that the reason why he's called Vashni is because, simply put, he changed himself into a different person. That Yoel, the beginning of his life, may have been a little bit different. That instead, he changed himself into something different, into something even greater. And he ended up becoming Yoel, the famous Navi. That eventually he became Roy for Nebuah. If we remember correctly, in the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis, it mentions that there's a bunch of people, B'nai Shmuel, were among the people who are Lo Chatu. They never sinned. Meaning they did something that appears to be wrong, but they didn't actually sin. And they're not punished for what they actually did, because they didn't do anything bad. What does it mean they took bribes? They didn't actually take bribes. It's that they hired secretaries and people in charge of their court systems, right, and they were there. So Yoel, right, even though he did that toward the beginning of his life, became a much better person at the end of his life and became the Navi Yoel. So therefore he's known as Vashni, that he changed himself. B'nai Merari, Machli, Livni b'no, Shimi b'no, Uza b'no, Shima b'no, Chagia b'no, Asaya b'no. And these are the ones that David Melech put up in charge of the songs, Beis Hashem in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Minocha Aron, right, when the Aron had come to rest in the Beis Hamikdash itself. Now remember, the Levim were chosen to do two things. There were Shoarim, which are gatekeepers, and then there were also Meshorim, which are singers. They did both. They were in charge of both over here. Vayuol Meshorim Lifnei Mishkan Moed Bashir, right, Abino Shlomo is Beis Hashem B'Yerushalayim. They were the ones who served, they ministered in front of the Mishkan of the Ol Moed by singing until Shlomo Melech built up the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim by Yamdu Kamishpatam Alavodosam. And they did their service according to what they were supposed to do. And these are the people that stood up and their children. From the children of Kos, there was Haman Hamashor ben Yoel ben Shmuel. Now, nah, not that guy. Haman is actually really good. Haman HaEzrachi is mentioned in Tehillim. Now, that may have been a person who David HaMelech knew. If he quotes Haman HaEzrachi, it's possible that it's referring to over here, right? It's referring to somebody over here. You are amazing at this. Unbelievable. This is literally amazing. No, but it goes through. But it is interesting that Haman over here, because if Haman is Haman HaEzrachi, now Chazal say that Haman HaEzrachi might be referenced to Avram Avinu, and that's who Tehillim was written by. But if Haman is referring to this kid, then it is referring to the Haman that we have. He was the Meshorah, the son of Yoel, the son of Shmuel, you know, third generation from Shmuel itself. It's so funny. I don't know about you guys, but when I go through Shmuel, it always just seemed to me that Shmuel and Avi never got married. that Shmuel HaNavi was just dedicated like a monk in the Mishkan, and that was that. It's a shocker to me, right, that he still got married, he still had kids, and it was fine. Like, everything was normal in his life, that he had a grandson as well. But regardless, and it says, Ben Elkanah, Ben Yerocham, Ben Eliel, Ben Toyach. Ben Suf, Ben Elkanah, Ben Machas, Ben Amosai. Ben Elkanah, Ben Yoel, Ben Azariah, Ben Tzvanya, Ben Tachas, Ben Asher, Ben Avyasav, Ben Korach. All of this from the son of Korach itself. Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kos, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael. Okay, so it's interesting. Over here, you see that Korach is known as Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kos, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael. Which is interesting. In the Torah, the word Yisrael does not appear. It says Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kos, Ben Levi, but it doesn't appear as Ben Yaakov. And the problem, probably the reason why, is because over here we're talking about the singer, Haman HaMeshorer, who was in charge, who did a tremendous thing. And Yaakov Avinu said, I want to be, you know, connected with that greatness. In the Torah, when Korach is mentioned in a bad way, he said, I don't want to be mentioned over there, right? He said, Bikolam al Teichad Kvodi, I don't want my kavod to be mentioned together with their kahal, when mentioning them. That's likely why he's not there. But Achiv, his brother was Asaf, Ha'omid al-Yaminu, who stood on his right. Also ben Barachio, ben Shimba, ben Michal, ben Ba'aseya, ben Milkiah, ben Esni, ben Zerach, ben Adoya, ben Esam, ben Zima, ben Shimba, ben Yachas, ben Gershom, ben Levi, all the way through, which is amazing that they had the lineage to go all the way back to say exactly who they were. It's absolutely unbelievable about how we're able to do over here. Okay.
And Asaf is Mizmor La'asaf, that Asaf.
That, Mistama, you'd assume, and especially because David HaMelech was one who appointed them, you'd assume that these are the people that were together with David HaMelech writing Tehillim or putting together the songs of Tehillim. I don't know if that means that Asaf was the one that wrote it or that he's the one that composed the song or whatever it was, but he was certainly involved. B'nei Merari, Achayim Allah Smol. These are the brothers that stood on the left. There was Esan ben Kishi, ben Avdi ben Maluch, ben Chashavi ben Amati ben Chilki, ben Amsi ben Boni, ben Shomer, ben Machli, ben Mushi, ben Merari, ben Levi. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Achayim Levim, their brothers were also the world of Levim, and Esunim L'chol Avodos Mishkan Beis Elohim. They were in charge of all the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, of everything that was going on there, everything they had to do over there. Some say they were maintaining. Some say they were the skinners. You know, after the Korban was obviously shechted, somebody had to skin and then flay the skin and then eventually cut up the pieces. That was the Levim over here. But Aaron of Anamakhtirim on the Mizbech HaOla. The Aaron and his sons, obviously the Kohanim, they were the ones who burned in the Mizbech HaOla. Val Mizbech HaKtoros L'chol Melechus Kodesh HaKadoshim. Well, the Chaper Yisrael, and that was Mechaper for all Bnei Yisrael, Kechosh Ritziva Moshe, right? May Eved Elohim. Everything that Moshe was commanded, the Eved Elohim over here, right? And that's the idea behind it. Now, obviously, Aaron is not alive. Right at the time when everything is going on over here, Aaron was not alive over here. The reference is the Kohen Gadol of that generation. Every Kohen Gadol of their generation is known as an Aaron. That was another name for them that used to call them. They used to call them Aarons, right? And that's the idea behind it, right? That's what the idea is. Now, it's possible that we're trying to say over here that even if Aaron HaTzadik, Aaron HaKohen Gadol, was alive at the time, Tzadok would have been the superior choice as Kohen Gadol because he was the leader at that time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses leaders according to what they need to be doing at that time itself. That's what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says in Sichos Musar, that even though Tzadok was, even though Aaron would have been alive, nonetheless, Tzadok would have still been chosen. That's how great Tzadok was. Eil ben Aaron, Elazar ben O, Pinchas ben O, Avishua ben O. Now, just know, we don't exactly know how long Pinchas lived for. It's the Sforno, who's normally a realist, I guess you can say, when it comes to Rishonim, out of all the Rishonim, he's more of a realist. He says that Pinchas was at least 300 years old. Now, the Midrashim say that Pinchas lived for hundreds more. You're right. The Midrashim say that he was Eliyahu HaNavi. Right? They go on and say that Pinchas became Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, if you would have asked me, I would have told you that would have been through neshamas. That Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen died, and that eventually his neshama became Eliyahu HaNavi. That's what I would have told you. I wouldn't have told you that he lived 600 years, right? But it seems that the Midrashim seem to take it literally that he was the son, that Pinchas was the son of Elazar, and he lived until he became Eliyahu HaNavi itself. But even the Rishonim that are more, so to speak, realists, even they agree, if you can grab a Navi from right over there, Yechiel, even they agree that he lived for at least 300 years. Now let's go on over here. It says, Buki b'no, Uzi b'no, Zrachia b'no, right? Marayos b'no, Amaria b'no, Achitu b'no, Tzadok b'no, Achimatz b'no. Right, Achimatz, his son, right over here. Hey, very, very interesting people, right after the other one. Go to the left, Yechiel, and one down by the gray chamash. One to the left. There you go, perfect. Right there. The Elamoshvo Sum Litirosum. Here's where they lived, according to their dwelling places, I guess I could say, Bigbulum around their areas. Lavine Aaron Mishpachas Akasi, Kilamoa Garol, right? So right over here, they had for the sons of Aaron, the Mishpachas Akasi, they had the goral first. They were the first ones to have the lottery. They had Chevron and all the areas around it. Now, we already learned in Yoshua that technically Kalev got Chevron, right? But it was near Miklat. Near Miklat means it belongs to the Levian themselves. What does that mean exactly? How do we understand that? Well, here's the idea behind it. We say the actual city itself, Chevron, belonged to the Levian. The areas around it belonged to Chevron. So there were Migrashim, certain areas where the Levian were able to be, and there were certain areas further away from it that were available for those other people, the Chevronites that were around there, the Kalev people that were around there. I have a feeling that this is where Kiryas Arba ended up coming into play. We said the Chevron and Kiryat Arba are somehow connected to one another. Chevron was the city of the Levium that was known as the Ir Miklat. And the twin city to it, like St. Paul, Minneapolis, the twin city was Kiryat Arba, which is right next to it even nowadays. And that city was Kalev City, but he may have called it Chevron, or was close enough to be Chevron. Lifnim, it was called Kiryat Arba. I don't know that for sure, but it certainly seems to be the indication from the Rishonim of how they went together. Either way, they got Chevron and all the areas, Vestea, Ir, Veschatzera, Nesunu, Lekalev, and Yifuna, and the field of the city and all the Chatzerim they gave to Kalev and Yifuna. So even though it says before that he got the city of Chevron, this is what it meant. The Livnearo, Nesunu, is Are Mikla. By the way, Kalev comes up again. So for those who weren't here before, Kalev and Yifuna is all over the place in the first three prakim, and now he appears again. The Livnearo, Nesunu, is Are Mikla. As Charam, as Livnev, as Mikroshel, as Yatir, as Shemoa, as Mishgorshel. So the sons of Aaron, they gave those Are Mikla, Chevron, Livna, Yatir, as Shemoa. That's Chilain, that's Migroshah, that's Dvir, that's Migroshah, that's Osham, that's Migroshah, that's Beis Shemesh, that's Migroshah. I'm sorry? Yeah, and the side, look on the side. Over here it says Chilais in the Pasuk. The way that there's a Nusach Acher that it's Chilain instead of Chilais. We don't have this in a what's it called? We don't lane this in any Haftorah, but there is a Machlokas how to read it if we had it through. If we had it, we don't have a Targum here, but. Let's see which one it says. I don't believe it's mentioned by any of the Rishonim either. Anyway, it says, "Ves Oshem Ves Migrashah is Beit Shemesh Ves Migrashah." Did anybody know Beit Shemesh itself was an Ir Miklat city? Not one of the main Ir Miklats, but a side Ir Miklat, right? And that's that. Mimati Binyamin is Geva Ves Migrashah. From the Shevet of Binyamin, they gave Geva. As a Lemes Migrashah, as an Asosim Ves Migrashah, called Reim Shalosh Asrei Ir Mishpachu Seim. Those were 13 cities, right, for their families. Zulvinei Kalsa Nosarim Mimishpachas Amateh. Mimachas Amateh Chatzim Menashe Begoro Orim Aser. The remaining sons of Korach, they were given out a lottery from the half Shevet of Menashe. They had 10 cities. Now the Livnei Gershon Lishchoseam, Lishchosam. I'm sorry, Mati Yisachar, Mati Asher, Mati Naftali, Mati Menashe, Babashan, Arim Shoshesrei. So they got Yisachar, Asher, Naftali, which are all around the area of the Kinneret, as well as Menashe on the other side of the Jordan River. They took 13 cities altogether. Mati Ruvain, and I don't know why we don't mention the actual cities themselves. But for the sons of Merari, Lishchosam, according to their family, Mati Ruvain, from the tribes of Ruvain, Mati Gad, both of those were outside of Eretz Yisrael, right in Evar Yarden. Mati Zvulun, Bagarol, Arim, Shtei Mesrei, there were 12 cities. Bnei Yisrael, Levim, as Armez, Megrashayim. They gave all those cities, as well as the Migrashim, and as well as the open areas for them to live in. They gave them all those cities from the Mate of Yehuda, Shimon, and Binyamin, as we just named. From Kahas, they got from Ephraim, and they gave them the Arim Miklat, Shchem, Mes Migrashav, Har Ephraim, Gezer, and Migrashah, Yokma, Mes Migrashav, as Beis Choron, Mes Migrashav, as Ayalon, Mes Migrashav. People might recognize Ayalon. That's the area around Shalvim. There's Gasrim of Esmigashav, Yachsus Mati Menashe, as Onir of Esmigashav, as Bilam. There's Migashav, Mishmachus Benikos, Hanosarim. Now, I don't know of this city called Bilam. I don't know if the people that were there felt that they were saved from the city, from what Bilam did, and therefore they named their city after him. Bilam is not a good name. Bilam means swallows them up. That's not a great name by any sense of the imagination. I'm not sure I totally understand why anybody would name their city Bilam, but they did. And then it says, "Levnei Gershom Mishpachas Chatzimata Menashe as Golan Babashon Vezugashav as Ashtoros Vezugashel." Those cities we already saw.
Why would they name their son Bilam, like Bilam?
No, that's not a son. That would be the
in general Bilam. Why is it even a name?
Why it shouldn't be? It shouldn't be. It would just be the name of the city for whatever reason. But no way anybody would name their kid Bilam. I don't. I can't imagine they would. 100%, yeah. But that might have been Lahachis. Yeah, oh, so you're saying this is also Lahachis? This is a Shevet Levi city. You'd think no. All right, let's see what we got. Mati Yisachar, as Kaddish Vesmigroshel, as Dovras Vesmigroshel, as Ramot Vesmigroshel, as Unnamed Vesmigroshel. Okay, so Kaddish and Ramot are main Ari Miklat cities. Those were part of the six. The other, you know, the others are part of the 42. Mati Asheras Mashal v'Zmegoshavis, Abdom v'Zmegoshavis, Chukok v'Zmegoshavis, Rachov v'Zmegoshavis, Mati Naftali, Kedesh Begalil v'Zmegoshavis, Chamon v'Zmegoshavis, Kiryasayim v'Zmegoshavis, Levinei Maravim Nosrim, Mati Zvulin, Rimonai v'Zmegoshavis, Rimono, I'm sorry, v'Zmegoshavis, Tavor v'Zmegoshavis, Me'Ever L'Yarden L'Yarecho, right, Lemizrach Yarden. On the other side, we Mati Reuven as Betzer Bamibor v'Zmegoshav as Yatzel v'Zmegoshav as Kedemos v'Zmegoshav as Mefas, right, v'Zmegoshav in Mati God as Amot Bagilo v'Zmegoshav as Machanaim v'Zmegoshav as Chashbom v'Zmegoshav as Yazir v'Zmegoshav. And that's the end of all of those right around there. Now, in the next two prakim, we're going to keep in mind the rest of the Shvatim over here. Now, this is unfortunately really, really sad. We're going to see some of the Shvatim, and there's going to be a lot about them. And some of the Shvatim, we're going to know nothing. And the reason why is because there's no question the genealogy by Yehuda was kept by the Bnei Yehuda. So was Binyamin, and so was Shimon for the most part, because they stayed around Yehuda and Binyamin. But the other Shvatim, the 10 tribes, their genealogy got lost. This is written by Ezra. It was lost when the 10 tribes were exiled. They probably still have a Sefer Yochsin wherever they are, wherever they went. But we didn't have any access to it, and Ezra didn't have any access to it. So he knew certain people that were able to go to Bavel that somehow defected to Yehuda, and he knew some of their Yochsin. The other people, they had no idea. So it's like a sad reminder that these Shvatim were lost forever, and we really have no idea who they were. So look what we got. The Livnei Yisachar.
Just talk to God.
No prophets anymore. I mean, you had Chag Ezechiah Malachi, but that's right. Not what you do. You have to get a Nevuah. They didn't receive a Nevuah to know more than what they actually got. They could
only
ask
Moshe
a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Only
Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to do something like that. Yeah. Livnei Yisachar, you have Tola Upua, Yashuv v'Shimron Arba. Those were four kids. Bnei Tola, Uzi Rafayah Yeriel, Yachma Yivsam Shmuel Rashim LeBeis Avosim. They were heads of the Beis Avosim. Latola Gibori Chai LeToldosim. They had very strong men. Mispar Mimei David. Their numbers in the days of David. Esther Mishnayim Elav Shesh Meos. 22,600 people just from that family of Tola. Now it is interesting. Yisachar is known as Tola because Tola is a worm. Tolaas is the word for a worm, and he used to bend himself over in order to learn Torah. That's one of the things they say about Tola Ben Pua, who was one of the Shoftim, that we mentioned in Shoftim, that he was a tremendous learner, that he used to do that, and he was from Bnei Yisachar. He was named for his great-great-grandfather, whoever it was, but unfortunately, we don't know much else over here. Now, there's no question Yisachar was a Shevet of Torah scholars. So when it says Giborei Chayil over here, it's possible that it never really meant Giborei Chayil as in soldiers at war. It meant people that were able to sit and learn Torah, and that's the idea behind it. It's possible that's the idea behind what they did over here. If a person wanted to go through and understand the wording, Yashiv, Yashuv, that name over there also refers to learning. Either refers to the people that they were Meshiv Eitza, or they were Miyashiv themselves. They made a yeshiva to sit down and learn Torah. And that is where the word comes from. The word yeshiva means they sit all day, right? That's what it's referring to, and why it refers to that, some type of permanence that went through over here. Anyway, but that's a lot of people all together that seem to have gone together. Bnei Uzi, Yizrachia, or Bnei Yizrachia, Micho, Vavadi, Vyov, Yeshia, Chami Yisrachim, Kulim, they were all five heads of their families. There were 36,000 heads of war. Kihirbu Nashim, Mavonim, they had many women and many children. Rachim, Lachom, Mishpochos, Yisachar, Gibori, Chaylam, Shmonim, Vishiva, Elaf, Yisachsam, Lachol. There were 87,000 that were Miyuchas, right, that were able to go through. Apparently, right, Uzi produced 36,000 people just by himself. Apparently, he had many wives and many, many people. They went down. That's amazing. Now, Binyamin, out of Binyamin's family, Bela Vavecher Vidya'il. That's Shlosha altogether. Now, it's funny because in the times of, what's it called? In the times of the Torah, there were 10 sons of Binyamin. But it's likely that by this time, some of the families had completely died out. Remember, Pelegesh Begiva wiped out everybody but 600 men of Binyamin. It's very likely that the other seven sons of Binyamin, for whatever reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, were completely wiped out and we don't have anything left. But we'll see a little bit more. So there's Bela, Becher, and Yediael. Bnei Bela, Etzbon, Uzi, Vuzi, Overimos, Ve'iri, Chamisha, Rosh, Be'esavos, Gibor, Chayolam, Isiachsam, Esri, Mushnaim, Elof, Shalosh, Marba. We have 22,034 altogether that was down there. Ubnei Becher, Zmira, Yoash, Eliezer, El Yoenai, Amri Yiremos, Avia, Anasos, Valam, Eskol, Ubnei Becher, Vizyaxon, Lotolos, and Risha, Bezavosim, Givori Chayl, Asram, Alephim, Asayim. There were 20,000 altogether, right? 20,200 heads. Yeah, 20,200, not 22,000. Ubeni Idiail, Bilon, Ubeni Bilon, Yeush, Ubeni Yamav, Eud, Vechanano, Uchanano, Vizdezim, Sarshi, Shvachi, Shochar. Right, Kol Eil, Ubeni Idiail, Lerusha, Avos, Givori, Chayolim, Shiva, Osir, Aleph. There were 17,000 of Masayim, Yotze, Tzavel, Mechama, and 200 soldiers that went out to battle itself. Okay, so here, I don't know if I would go, because Yisachar is known as the Talmid HaChachamim, it's possible that Gvori Chayil over there were really referring to warriors, meaning people that sat and learned Torah. By Binyamin, we don't see them as tremendous Talmid HaChachamim. It's very possible they were, but this is likely that refers to actual people that went to battle, and it mentions how they went to war and everything like that. Now, there's also Shupim the Chupim, Bnei Ir, Hushim, Bnei Acher. Hushim was the son of Acher. Okay, and that's all we got. We don't have anybody else that we know over here. Now, Chupim is actually a name of one of Binyamin's sons, but clearly that's not referring to him over here. This would have been much later on. Bnei Naphtali, Yachziel, the Guni Yetzer, Shalom, Bnei Bilha. That's Bnei Naphtali. You have Yachziel, Guni Yetzer, Shalom, sons of Bilha. And that's it. We've got nothing. There's literally nothing else that's mentioned that says over here, right? And we don't have anything else more than what we have over here, which is the saddest thing in the world. We really have nothing from the people of Naphtali itself, and that's pretty much it. What's even more sad is that we don't even see Dan. He's not even mentioned here. Well, Dan isn't mentioned at all. So you are right, and for that reason, the Mefarish says that when it says over here, Hushim ben Acher, you'll remember that Hushim is the son of Dan. Some say that Acher is called Dan because he went to the other side and he started worshiping Avodah Zarah, and they purposely left him out for that reason. Many of them were gone by the time it came to Ezra. Yes.
And he quotes the note from the Malbim that Acher is done.
That Acher is done. And it's the saddest thing in the world, but it's possible, though, that's the reference that we've referred to over here. B'nei Menashe, Asriel Sheyolda Pilakshu Aramia, Yoldas Machir Avi Gilad. So there was Asriel, who Gilad's wife ended up bearing him, right? As Machir Avi Gilad. Umachir Lakechish Lechupim Leshupim, Leshem Achosa Macha, Shemeshinit Slavchad, Vetino Slavchad Banos. We all know about Slavchad. Slavchad had daughters. Telemacha Ishis Machir Bain, Tikshmo Peresh, Veshemachov Shoresh, but one of Ulam Varekem. When Ulam Bidun, right, the sons of Ulam was Bidun over here. Now, there is one person that we know of as Bidun. It's Shimshon. Whether this is a reference to over here of Shimshon, the son of Manoach, in some way, it would be very strange because they're from another Shevet altogether. They're from Shevet Dun. Why would they be put over here? So it could be that Bidun is just another name. But Eilab and Egilab and Machir and Menashe, Vachoso Molechas Yoldas Ishud, right? And then also there was his sister, the one who is queen. She gave birth to Ishod, right? That's Aviezer Vesmachlav, Yubene Shmida, Achen Veshechem Velichab Yaniyom, and that's that. Now, here we have stuff that's just missing. And again, we just don't have any clue. Who is this queen? When did this queen get up and when did she rule? The only queen that we ever see in Klal Yisrael, the person who's in charge, is obviously Devorah. And then later on, we see Asalya Hamalka, who was a very evil queen. And then by the Hashmonaic kings, which obviously this was before, right, you have the two, Hilini Hamalka and Shlomtzion Hamalka. We don't find anybody else.
We have other queens.
Does that refer to her being the ruling power or just mean she's the wife of the king?
Could it be she's a governor? But it seems like we don't know her husband. We just know her. So it sounds like she was a powerful woman, but her husband was not a powerful man.
We have other queens in Tanakh.
I don't believe any of them.
Esther.
Okay, for another nation.
Malkisedek.
Malkisedek is a guy.
That's not a queen. Malka wasn't a queen?
No, Malka could have been. Right. But there are 89 names that are interchangeable between guys and girls. Where Chaim Kanievsky mentions it in his Sefer in Time of the Crow. He goes through 89 names that are interchangeable between men and women. Like, there's a lot between Gemara names and Tanakh names. No, but Malka did it for sure, right? But I guess you can count Esther and Malka. But Esther and Malka would have been, you know, it would have been, first of all, it would have been, you know, a little bit strange to mention her as being a queen, right? Considering she wasn't the queen of Jews. But either way, right, it would have been something like that. What else do we have over here? Right, Don is referring to that. I forgot. We don't have to worry about those. We talked about Slavchad already. Okay, now we're getting into the Bnei Ephraim over here. Ephraim was a little bit different. There are lots of shilas if Ephraim ever served as slaves in Mitzrayim. Ephraim and Menashe, whether they ever were actual slaves. The Meshech Chachma, Meir Simcha of Divinsk, has the famous Shita that it was Reuven, Menashe, and Ephraim that never worked in Mitzrayim. Unfortunately, they got very, very close to the Egyptians and started doing everything the Egyptians were doing. And according to him, those were the four-fifths of Bnei Yisrael that died in Choshech. They acted like Egyptians. They looked like Egyptians. For all intents and purposes, they lived in the capital city. They died as Egyptians, but they were Jews. And those are the four-fifths of Bnei Yisrael that died during Makas Choshech.
That's a huge fellow, because the fact that when we say Yisrael, Ephraim, Kemenashe, that's because they were the ones that stuck out.
There were certain people from Ephraim and Manasseh who were special, unbelievably special, and joined the Jews in Goshen. But they were unfortunately the minority. Even the minority was still, 30,000 strong, 40,000 strong. Those are the amounts of numbers that went through. But Ephraim and Manasseh were given a lot of extra gifts. I mean, you can imagine that Yosef HaTzadik did not just have one wife. I doubt an Egyptian king ever had just one wife. He probably had many. He probably had many more kids, and they added on to the names of Ephraim and Manasseh and added on to the names. You'd assume there were many, many children like that. And unfortunately, some of them did not stay. That's the assumption. But yeah,
what do you think? What about when Ephraim tried to break out?
So Ephraim, that's a really good call, and we're going to talk about that literally right now. Those are the people that are going to be around there. We're going to talk about how they were going through. There are two attempts that Ephraim made to try to escape from Mitzrayim itself. Everybody knows about the second one, but we're going to see Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says there were two times that they ended up escaping. Now, this is according to Reb David Luria. Not everybody agrees with the Radal's Shita. They say it just happened 30 years before they left, and that was that. But we'll talk about it in a second. Let's see if we can get through. It says, Shusalach uvered b'no, sachas b'no, elod b'no, tachas b'no. Zavim b'no, shusalach b'no, ezer v'elod, v'harogum anshe gas and elodim ba'aretz. The people of Gas killed them. They were born in Eretz Yisrael. Ki yordu l'kachas es m'gnam. They came down to take their cattle and stuff like that. Isabel Ephraim Aviam Yamim Rabim. Ephraim, their father, mourned them many days. Vavo Echov Lenachamo, and his brothers came to console him. Now, the assumption over here is like this. Number one, Ephraim, their father, mourned them, which means we're talking about Ephraim himself. This couldn't be 30 years before they left Mitzrayim. That would have put Ephraim at a very, very old age. And although people lived a long time back then, that would have put him 100 years older than anyone else who would have been alive at the time, which is just strange. Not impossible, because Pinchas may have lived 300 years, but it's just strange. Second of all, it seems as if this is not trying to escape from Egypt. These are people that literally just went to go steal cattle, and they were all killed. That might not have been an escape attempt. That might have just been, we're going out there and doing whatever we could. If they were citizens, they were allowed to leave. They wouldn't be like the other Jews over there. And the fact that his brothers came also tells us that Ephraim had more than one brother. If it was just Manasseh that was alive, that would be one thing. There were other sons of Yosef.
Brothers, literally. It's, compatriots.
Normally the word that I would have used over here is Bunav Lenachamot. His sons came to be Menachem him, which would make more sense. Echov seems that it's trying to be Ramez to something. But you are right. It's possible it's referring to uncles and other relatives around there. We definitely see that by the when Yaakov Avinu goes with Lavan, he says his brothers came. There were no other brothers to Yaakov. They were Yaakov's sons, but they were like his brothers in that they were as powerful as Yaakov. It's just an interesting line. Then it says, Yavol Ishto. So he came to his wife, right, Ephraim. Vatar v'telubim v'yikroshmo b'ria. Kivro ha'iso b'beiso, because it was evil inside his house. That's not going to send the kid up. Yeah. Ubito she'era. His daughter then was she'era. Right, Batevenes Beis Choron, and she built up an area called Beis Choron. Right, that was the area over there. But Hatachton, the lower one, that's Elyon. That's Uzain She'era, as well as Uzain She'era was round over there. Again, she was apparently a very powerful figure. This person, right, She'era. The Refach Beno, Vereshef, Veselach Beno, Vesachas Beno, Sachan Beno, Ladon Beno, Amiud Beno, Elisham Beno, Nun Beno. Normally, people pronounce it as Nun. Right? And Yoshua Beno, Yoshua's son. Unfortunately, Yoshua did not have any sons. He only had daughters. Although there definitely are relatives of Yoshua that come into play later on. Yoshua and Rachav, Azona, had children. Yoshua himself did not have any children. They did not have anything whatsoever. Let's just finish up until Asher, Vachuzas, Moshosim, Beis El, Benosel, La Mizrach, Na'arun, to the east was Na'arun, Lamar of Gezer, Benosel, Shechem, Benosel, Ayo, Benosel, Al Yedei, Benem, Asher, Beis She'anu, Benosel, Tanach, Benosel, Megiddo, Benosel, Dor, Benosel, Bil Yoshua ben Yosef ben Yisrael. These were the children of Yosef. Again, possibly from Menasha, possibly from other people over there. That's the idea behind it. Now,
Yosef ben Yisrael, but not by
Menasha. Yosef ben Yisrael, it's a good call. It's probable that Yosef ben Yisrael is, because we're referring to Yosef at Tzadik, and we want to make sure you know this is what we're referring to. Menasha, we already know, is the Menasha from the tribes. So we know that's referring to Menasha ben Yosef. But the Yosef ben Yisrael over here, we wanted to make sure that everybody knew it was like that.
Now we're always using Yisrael. We don't use Yaakov anymore.
Throughout Divrei Yamim, we mentioned earlier, there's only one time where it mentions Yaakov, because we're always going for the best thing that Bnei Yisrael had. So it's always known as Yisrael. But it's a good call. Really good call that we never mention Yaakov anything whatsoever. Now, the other thing that we're going to have to do this another time. There is another child that's going to be born whose name was Yignon. Yignon was a false prophet. He's the one that led Bnei Ephraim out 30 years before the time. He's the one that said, Pakod Pakadati, and everybody left with him from Bnei Ephraim. Fortunately, they were slaughtered by either the Plishtim, Amalek, or Mitzrayim, or possibly all three, right when they left Mitzrayim. Those are the bones that the Jews had to pass by as they were coming out of Mitzrayim itself. It's scary to be able to go through, but it seems like it happened twice. It's possible those two go together, and Ephraim lived a long time. It's possible they go together, and we're referring to, you know, somehow maybe the 30 years are off, and it goes around there. I've also heard that Bnei Yisrael, he was right about the 210 years. Bnei Yisrael actually left after 240. Famous Ramban and Parshas Bo, but that's not for right now. We'll stop with that for right now.